My joy would be complete, dear, if you were only here. But still I keep your hand as a precious souvenir.
Hello and welcome to Games with Garfield. I'm your host, Jessica Price, and I am here with our usual suspects, Richard Garfield.
Hola.
And Scaff Elias.
Hello.
We are sorry that we have been away for so long.
To all our concerned fans who are worried about us being kidnapped in some third world country.
We were.
And being held hostage. We are not any longer being held hostage, and thus we can do podcasts again.
There were podcasts we did from the bunker we were trapped in, but they're probably lost. They were fascinating. Wish you could have heard them. We are here tonight to talk about deck building games. Cards, trading cards, have been around for quite a while. You know, baseball cards. What other types, Scaff?
I think there's
badminton,
football cards.
Awesome.
And basketball cards.
So
movie cards. I had a lot of Star Wars cards.
Yeah. There were collectible stickers at one point too that you could trade.
Soccer in Europe, I think, especially. They did collectible soccer stickers instead of cards.
Nice.
I collected the 1985 curling team cards.
You guys are giant geeks. Anyway, that idea has been around for a while, but I think the first game to take the idea that you could get these trading cards, these collectible cards, and actually do something with them, like play a game, was Magic the Gathering. Richard, what made you decide to, you know, take this sort of collectible trading card thing that had been going on for a while and do something with it?
Well, from my perspective, I was adding something to games rather than adding something to trading cards. I didn't really collect trading cards. I thought they were interesting. They looked fascinating, but I was always kind of frustrated. There was nothing you could do with them. So that was probably in the back of my mind. But my invention of Magic was based on the idea that, wow, it would be really cool if everybody had their own deck and they could compete it against each other's. And then a little while later, probably, I thought, oh, that's kind of like trading cards. That's something you could do with your trading cards. But I invented it as a game player, not as a trading card collector.
So with Magic, the actual game doesn't involve collecting the cards, building your deck. That happens before you sit down to play, correct?
Yeah, generally. Sometimes people draft their cards when they sit down, or there's a lot of different ways you can get your deck. Sort of the alpha way to play Magic is you buy a bunch of cards, you trade them with your friends, and you construct a deck. But people play in a lot of different ways, in particular, old time players often like to sit down and open up a bunch of packs and draft them off like they were picking a softball team, and then compete the decks against one another.
That's probably the major antecedent of these deck building games is drafting and TCGs.
So it seems like for a lot of people, the drafting is actually part of what's so much fun for them, not just the game that they sit down to play after their deck is created. And we've seen in, you know, fairly recently the emergence of a new subgenre of board games in which that creation of your deck actually takes place during the game itself and is, you know, occurring simultaneously with the other game mechanics. And the first of those was Dominion, which came out in 2008, I believe. Richard, what do you think of Dominion?
Oh, I think Dominion is exciting. When I see a game like Dominion, I'm always interested in seeing what game designers are going to do with the concepts that are there. I think it's distilled a lot of the excitement of drafting and constructing your deck and trading card games into a much more manageable experience, and brought a lot of its own to the table at the same time.
I want to take a moment here to note that we actually have done a full podcast on Dominion, so if you haven't heard that and you're interested in the game, you should definitely go listen to that. But very briefly, Dominion is a game where you start out with
seven copper cards and three estate cards. So you begin out with a small deck, 10 cards. Each turn you draw 5 cards off of your deck, and it involves money and victory points. And you use that money to buy more money, more victory points and action cards. And during the course of the game, you ramp up in the amount of exciting action cards you've got, and the value of your the money you draw, and eventually you start buying these big old victory point cards. And at the game at the end of the game, the only thing that matters is how many points of victory points, how many points worth of victory cards you have.
And a couple things: the victory point cards are not useful during the course of play, so they do gum up your deck since they don't count.
So there's a trade-off between when you buy them,
when you want to put them in, and everything. And then also the other thing to note is that the cards that you're drafting are how many cards are there? 10 different cards?
Right. There's 10 different action cards.
10 different types of cards. 10 different piles. 10 piles. 10 different types of cards.
Yeah. Each pile contains the same. Copies of the same card, but there are 10 different piles of cards from which you can draw. Dominion actually comes with a lot more than 10 action cards, but you, at the beginning of the game, can either pick randomly or can choose from different sets of 10 that you use in that game. And so, you know, if you want to look at the difference in sort of the timeline of the game from something like Magic, you know, for Magic you would buy your cards, depending on what you get in the packages, trade them, or, you know, buy other packs and construct the pool that you're creating your deck from beforehand, and then go and play with your friends, correct? But in Dominion, you're actually doing that while you're playing.
Yeah, and one of the most exciting things about Dominion for me is the fact that you choose these 10 cards, however you do it randomly, or you pick your favorite cards or whatever, that defines your game, and it makes it very different from other games. So
not every game is different, but most are.
Yeah.
Well, and in fact, you are drafting right up until the end of the game. When you run out of cards, running out of cards is one of the end conditions. If
three piles are gone, or the province, the highest value victory card is gone.
Anyway, that's probably a longer description than we need of Dominion, but the basics are you're drafting your deck through the course of the game, you're playing as you're drafting, and you're drafting right up to the end of the game.
So there have been a bunch of games that have sort of descended from the family tree that Dominion started.
It's interesting to me that Dominion, it's not just a good game, it spawned an entire genre. That's a very popular one now. And we think that the first post-Dominion deck-building game was Thunderstone by AEG, the designer we know well, Mike Elliott. He's an excellent game designer. And you want to talk a little bit about...
As far as I know, it was the first. There was a bunch that came out really fast. That was the first one that was in front of me, so it may have been first. It was in the first wave, certainly. I think Thunderstone's biggest contribution was that it added a really distinct flavor to the game, which a lot of people were looking for. In Thunderstone, you were doing a dungeon crawl, you were recruiting a party, you were going into a dungeon and fighting monsters. And I think that for a lot of people, the Dominion flavor was a little bit
vanilla.
Yeah, I don't think it really tied into what a lot of players were looking for, and I think Thunderstone answered that.
Dominion's expansions have added some more flavor.
Yeah, I think over time it's become more flavorful, but Dominion is still principally about the mechanics rather than about the flavor, whereas Thunderstone was more about the flavor.
And also, I'd like to give props to everyone in that first wave and AEG, the publisher of this one. A lot of times people look at a really great game and say, that's a really great game, and now I want to do something else that's interesting. And you know, they said, no, this is good enough that this is a genre of games, and we want to do a bunch of games in the genre. And I in general think that evolutionary games tend to be actually better plays than innovative games.
We'd in part of this podcast that got lost talked about the difference between revolutionary and evolutionary games, in that sometimes something like Dominion comes out, which is revolutionary, which doesn't really look like anything that came before it. And then after that, you often have evolutions that change it incrementally, but in useful ways. So that's a lot of what we're going to be talking about with the examples. Richard has kindly spread our podcast table with a bunch of different deck building games. So we're going to go through them. The next one in the pile after Thunderstone is Nightfall.
Yeah,
I've never played it. What can you guys tell me about it?
It should be said that this pile isn't necessarily
complete.
Well, certainly not complete. It's just pulled from my collection, and it's not necessarily also
in
chronological order. Nightfall came after Thunderstone, but it may have come before some of the other stuff or after. I don't know.
I've been told by our technical support that there is a language in which these are in alphabetical order.
Nightfall is also AEG. It's a sort of a vampire-flavored vampire. It's got vampires, vampire hunters. I think it's based on some intellectual property, which I'm not familiar with. It's much, much more interactive than a lot of the other deck-building games. For me, too, it's got a lot of politics in it. You choose who you attack, that sort of thing.
And we should mention that one of the biggest complaints that people have about this category is its non-interactivity.
Or at least that the interaction is very subtle in Dominion.
Yeah, sometimes you have to be very good in a game to appreciate its interactivity. Sometimes it works the other way, where if you're good, you realize there isn't any interactivity, and you think there's interactivity when you're sort of less experienced. I don't think there's anything wrong in particular with games that are of low interaction. Yahtzee, for example, is an excellent game with low interactivity. Your only interaction in Yahtzee is deciding how much to press your luck based on how other people are doing. But many people will look for a more interactive experience than they think they get from a game like Dominion.
And it definitely seems to be a trend that a lot of these deck building games are trying to put more interactivity in.
Yeah, I think it's in the forefront of the designer's mind is how do I make this more interactive than Dominion? And I think it's also in expansions for Dominion that it's something that the Dominion development team has been wrestling with as well. For some people, probably Nightfall did not go too far, but for me, I find it a very sort of a very political game, choosing who to attack each turn. It's got some really interesting mechanics outside that, but. Then the next game I've got in our queue is Heroes of Graxia, which I actually haven't played. I read the rules to, but never got around to playing. You played it, Jessica, didn't you?
Javier and I played it before we came here to do this podcast. Unfortunately, we did not have time to get through a complete game, so there may be things that we didn't get to see. What was interesting about Heroes of Graxia, which I haven't played Thunderstone or Nightfall, so I don't know if it was in those games, but it definitely wasn't in Dominion or a game we're going to talk about in a little bit, Quarriors, is that with Heroes of Graxia, you actually pick a character to start with who has different abilities. So, you know, in Dominion, everybody starts out with the same 10 cards. In Quarriors, everybody starts out with the same, I think, 12 dice. Heroes of Graxia, you start out with a hero that, you know, has their own qualities, and so you're immediately playing differently from the other players. Other than that, it's fairly similar to the other deck building games. I'd say that there's a lot more different cards. You know, Dominion, you have piles of 10 of the same card, or 10 piles of the same card. Heroes of Graxia, I'm not sure how many different cards there are, but there are a lot. You know, we're maybe seeing one copy of other stuff.
Yeah, I'd say one thing, I'm really interested in these games where you begin out with different cards to start off. Another game we're going to talk about soon, Puzzle Strike, has that. The thing I like about it is that in a game like Dominion, if you sit down with a bunch of people, there is a correct solution to how you should be drafting. That may change depending on where other people go, and it may be very subtle in that there might be two viable strategies, but when you sit down with where you've got your own character, then you evaluate things in different ways, and people will be correct in following different strategies.
What's the next game on the list?
The next one is one that
very tiny box.
Not many people probably will have heard of. I had to really hunt for it. It's called Fizzt by Tony Boydell.
Wait, what's it called?
Fizzt.
Awesome.
That's F. Z-Z-Z-T. not to be confused
with no vowels.
With F-Z-Z-Z-Z-T. And an exclamation mark. In Fizzt, you have a deck of energy and you bid for cards in a queue, robots and assembly and blueprints. And the cards you bid for will give you energy in future rounds, but they'll also give you victory points. And one of the things that's nice about Fizzt is that it's so condensed. You see, it's got the smallest box at the table. It's real. I think it only has 60 cards.
Wow, that makes it tiny.
It's about 60
company.
Cards, and yet you get this deck building experience with it, which is kind of fresh.
That's cool. I see next on our table you have Innovation, which I would not have thought of as a deck building game.
And I don't really think of it as a deck building game now either. But I was talking to the publisher, and he casually referred to it as a deck building game, and that took me aback. And then I talked to some of my friends, and they also thought of it as a deck building game.
Seems more like a hand building game, though, right? You have a tableau that's out in front of you, and
I think that's really what's going on with it. There's actually, when you think about it, there's a lot of games where you build over the course of the game a hand, a tableau, a power base of some sort. Innovation
like
is
Race
one.
For the Galaxy.
Race for the Galaxy and Carl Chudik's other game, Glory to Rome. These games, you're augmenting your powers and building a hand, which is always there. And these games can get very complicated because your tableau can get so expansive. And it's one of the strengths of deck building games is that you build a deck and then you draw five cards and you only have to deal with these five cards. And they may get more and more elaborate as you go along. But I put it in here because some people think of it as a deck building game, and I think it's reasonable to make
a distinction. You're here to say that they're wrong.
I think it's a more useful definition to think of it as a hand building game or a tableau building game.
Yeah. What would you say is the where do the hand building games come from?
Hand building games. I'm not sure that they go way back. Maybe Scaff and I have talked about even Djinn as being a hand building game. So
that was my first thought about these things is not only does it feel obviously like a hand building game, but in particular, there's this sort of counter drafting element that goes on. Like you're really concerned about what your opponent's hand is and you build it over the course of the whole game. And
it seems like if we include hand building games, this genre gets huge. So
not only does it get huge, but we get games which are long before Dominion, and Dominion clearly
started something,
and that wasn't hand building games.
Right.
So, for purposes of this podcast, we'll stick with deck building games.
Right. So this is here sort of to spawn that.
And actually, one interesting thing to point out is even like Heroes of Graxia, right on the box, it says deck building game for 2 to 6 players. So
this is actually being acknowledged. As a genre.
So the next we've got lined up is Ascension.
I've never played Ascension. Can you give us a summary?
Yeah, Ascension was designed by Justin Gary, who's actually was a
Magic player.
Was he a professional?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Junior, sure. And then professional, and quite a good Magic player.
Magic players, you should see the proud little smiles and Scaff have. So, Richard, what's unique and interesting about Ascension?
Well, Ascension has a large deck you flip up cards from. So rather than seeding the game with a number of action cards, which everybody's purchasing throughout the game, you roll 6 cards, and you can pick any of them to purchase. After you've purchased it, then another one flips up, so you can purchase several in one turn. This gets rid of the thing I like the best about Dominion, which is how radically different each of their games are because of the cards you seed the game with. But at the same time, it introduces a whole new level of interaction to the game and excitement, because the game does change during the course of it, depending on what games are out, what cards are revealed. And it manages to get a whole new level of interaction in the game without sort of effortlessly, because when I buy a particular card in Ascension, it disappears, which means nobody else can get it. In the other games, if I buy a particular card, it's there for everybody still until that whole pile runs out.
So it's a lot about counter drafting.
Yes, yeah. There's a lot of the interaction and the skill in the game is
denying
not only taking
players.
What you want, but denying it to other people. And in fact, one of the mechanics of the game is to get rid of a card from the center pool, so you're not even buying it. I just play an action card, get rid of one of those cards, and then if I might get rid of a monster that I can't kill immediately to deny it from you, or get rid of some artifact which is more useful in your deck, but I don't want to purchase.
This actually reminds me of a mechanic in King of Tokyo where you can sweep the cards that are available for purchase, usually to keep somebody else from getting something.
Yeah, I suppose there's some similarity there. So the game can actually be played pretty seriously. I've seen a lot of tournaments occurring on it. The only other game I've seen played seriously is Dominion itself, but that's also been aided by the fact that they've come out with really an excellent iPad, iPhone app for it. The app allows you to play not only against AI, but pass and play works very well, and play across with unknown people at any time of the day or night is possible.
It's got a nice interface.
Excellent interface. Really impressive. If you have one of those devices, I highly recommend it.
So speaking of the iPad and different media, we have two examples here of games that have come out fairly recently, I think, that dispense with cards entirely. The first of which is Puzzle Strike.
Yeah, Puzzle Strike, Bag of Chips.
Yes, Bag of Chips. So
you're drafting chips and throwing them into a bag?
Yeah, you might think Pogs. Yeah, you're drawing them out of a velvet bag.
Velvet, nice. Yeah. So velvety. So it's really just a bag building game, not a deck building game.
Yeah, that's right. But
we can put it in the same category.
Sure. And the chips themselves are the least interesting part of the game of Puzzle Strike to me, even though they're the most striking and what will catch people's eyes. The designer bends over backwards to make them act just like cards. To the extent you draw chips out of the bag, you put them in a discard pile. If you were to put a chip back on top of your bag so that you draw it first is like putting a card on top of your deck so you draw it first.
That's a little weird, because sort of one of the non-ordering of the chips in your bag would be something very chip-like.
Yeah, that's what I wish they would have embraced that and just made it so that there was a bag of chips and every turn you drew five and you dealt with them and then throw everything back or something like that.
So,
nevertheless, there is something appealing about the idea of shaking a bag full of chips to mix them up rather than shuffling cards. I have a friend who won't play Dominion because he hates how often you have to shuffle.
Yeah, and that's certainly understandable. There's a lot of shuffling in most of these games, and a lot of people would find drawing chips from a bag less difficult and more fun. And so there's a visceral pleasure to it.
So just go with it instead of you're saying walk tall. Be proud of your chippiness.
Be proud of your chips. Yeah.
And then the chips also have the further disadvantage that they have less real estate there to show pictures, so they look less nice than cards and so forth. But aside that, it's got some really nice mechanical things. I really do like the interaction in the game, which Puzzle Strike manages to get its own unique interaction between the players. And also, it has, as we mentioned earlier with Heroes of Graxia, each player beginning with their own character. In this case, you begin with three unique chips, which are thrown in your bag, and nobody else has those chips, which makes it so everybody's drafting from a different position, which is nice. It really adds a lot of variety to the game.
All right, and we also have a game called Quarriors, which I've been playing a lot recently and really like, in which the cards are replaced with dice, because, you know, nothing's more fun than rolling a giant handful of dice. And Quarriors in some ways actually harkens back to Dominion more than a lot of the games we're talking about, in that you start with everybody starts with the same hand. I think there are 8 money dice and 4 little monster dice. And you use those to buy other monster dice that with which you can attack your fellow players, gain points by having your monster survive until your turn. And it's similar to Dominion in that you have that sort of limited deck selected for each game.
You should mention it's not just the same designer as Thunderstone. There's two designers for Quarriors. It's Mike Elliott and Eric Lang together worked on Quarriors. They're both very good designers.
Yeah, it's a great little game. As Richard was saying about Puzzle Strike, though, it does seem like the dice are still tied conceptually very closely to cards. In fact, you have a card for each die that has the stats for that particular monster. And similarly to Puzzle Strike, I think. Does Puzzle Strike have a discard pile?
Yeah.
You have a hand that you draw from your bag, and then you discard those dice.
Yeah, both are trying very much to be a deck of cards.
One with chips. Do you have a discard bag, or is it just a pile?
Just
on the table?
A discard pile. So you've got dice in a bag. You've got dice in your hand. You've got dice that you've got in play, and you've got dice in a discard pile.
So I'm not allowed to play this game because I'd be spreading my elbows would be spreading my dice all over.
It is true.
It is true.
Yeah.
Actually, the tin for Quarriors, it comes in a very cool looking cubicle tin. It actually says basically it's a dice building game. So. Deck building games, I guess, are enough of a genre at this point that, you know, you can make
I got to go back to it's a bag building game. We don't call Dominion a card building game, so we shouldn't call this a dice building, nor Puzzle Strike a chip building. They are bag building games.
I concur.
And last up, we have a very interesting entry to this genre. I guess you've made it as a genre when there is a vaguely pornographic, disturbing Japanese version of, you know, entry into your genre, and that would be Tanto Kore.
So you consider it only vaguely pornographic?
Well, there's no actual nudity.
Oh, okay.
Which somehow, in some ways, makes it more disturbing. Tanto Kore is a game in which you collect and play with maids, all of whom look like they're about 14, and you buy your maids with love. The love cards actually have denominations of love, and the young-looking maid on the love card gets vaguely more suggestive as the denominations go up. And at two loves, she starts winking, and at three love, there's a pillow between her legs and her mouth is open, so, you know, it's pretty disturbing.
That just shows your cultural bias.
Yeah, I had read about that game and thought at first it was a joke, and then thought, well, I guess it isn't a joke, but it's probably not going to be available in the States. It's clearly only a Japanese thing.
Yeah,
but actually, it is available in the States.
A lot of things that are jokes to us are not jokes in Japan.
Yeah. So, the pictures in it are pretty disturbing. The goal of the game is to put together, assemble a staff of maids.
Oh. Keep going.
And one surprising thing about it is the mechanics of it actually are quite good. When I first heard about it, I also found it was real, I also decided I probably wouldn't be interested in it, because if you've got a game about anime maids, that's probably what its lead feature is.
Yeah.
But you decided to purchase and open and look at it and play with it anyway.
Yes, that's true. After being assured that the game mechanics were actually good, and they were, and I played it a few times and appreciated the mechanics, and then felt dirty enough I had to put it away.
So, what makes the mechanics so good?
Well, first,
but
it did take
you several times to feel dirty.
I'm already looking at a interesting mechanic in the rule book that makes me feel sort of dirty, which is there are event cards, one of which is illness and the other one of which is bad habit, and they recommend that you remove bad habits from the game if there are beginners among the players. Apparently the bad habits are an advanced maid managing.
It is true. Your maids will get lazy, for example, and then you might have to discipline them. discipline them.
I see.
But it's for their own good, right?
Yeah. It's for the good of the house, and ultimately their good is the good of the house.
Sure.
So one of the mechanics, which is really interesting, is in a lot of these games, you want to remove less effective cards from your deck, and that's been there since Dominion. In this, you can actually get rid of the cards, but still score them at the end, and they can still have some effect during the course of the game. And this is called chambering the maids.
Oh, I see. They go to your private quarters.
That's right. They go to your private quarters, and then they're not in your deck anymore. But they've sort of been. But they're still available for you to score at the end. So that mechanic
at the end.
That mechanic works quite well, and you see a lot of the mechanics.
Would you say that chambering maids is your favorite mechanic in Tantamori?
It's probably it might be. Yeah.
Okay.
Look at this. You can.
I haven't played it. It's mine too.
You can get private maids who go directly. Sorry, they go straight to your private quarters.
That is correct. That is the other mechanic, actually, which is pretty interesting. Removing cards from your deck is actually done really well in Ascension, also, where there are certain cards you put into play, and then they stay out of play and continue to operate as sort of the analog of magic enchantments, and so that thins your deck also. So you see this in other games, but in Tantamori they do it quite nicely. The other mechanic I really like in it is that. It borrows from Dominion the selection of 10 cards which you can buy during the course of the game, which changes every game radically. But it also has a little bit of the Ascension mechanic, where you flip up random cards that are available only as one-offs. So there's two special maids which are available for people to purchase. Yeah, and if you get one of those, you purchase it with love.
Right.
If you
that
get one of those,
okay.
Then you are denying it to the other people, which gets that sort of interaction and variety that you have in Ascension.
Right, so you buy the maid, and that means that you guys are exclusive. Or, sorry, she's exclusive with you.
She goes, I think those are the ones that go straight to your private quarters.
So it is actually interesting that it like in the course of talking with this about the genre, it's combining several of your favorite mechanics.
And it sounds like it actually, in some ways, is the most refined mechanics of the games we've talked about.
Yeah, I would not put it as mechanically the best here, but it's a strong contender, and beyond that, it's well balanced. Also, the designers clearly gave a lot of thought to the relative values of the cards.
Whether the maids were well balanced.
Yeah, and so we should actually point out before we make any false promises, you don't run out and buy this and then be mad at us because it's not pornographic enough for you.
The maids are all fully clothed.
Yeah, they're all fully clothed.
It's
more the off color suggestion than it is anything actually. Yeah.
Well, and the fact that they all look like they're somewhere between 8 and 14.
It's best to train them young.
Well, that makes it more innocent, doesn't it?
Right, more innocent. But yes, as I was saying, I think that we can, officially declare that the deck building genre has arrived. It has its own, disturbing Japanese entry into the genre. So, must be a real genre.
Yeah, and there's certainly other members that I just don't happen to have in my collection, haven't played with, and so I'm not as familiar with. And I know that there's a lot of other deck building games that are in design.
Yeah, listeners, you should feel free if you have if you know about some deck building games that we haven't talked about that.
That are good.
Yeah, that are good that you think we should play. Feel free to leave those in the comments, and we will take a look. And with that, we will bid you good night, and we will be talking to you soon. This is Jessica Price signing off, and Richard Garfield.
Sayonara.
And Scapp Elias.
Goodbye.